Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
It helps us get through the work week. Although this work week different than many because a lot of people had 3 or 4 day weekends. Not us. We're here. We're working hard. Though I did enjoy some hiking on Saturday. That was nice. Gorgeous weather this time of the year in my New Jersey neighborhood. And I know in many parts of the country. It's one of the reasons why I love May. But when we ask you to rank the months of the year on this show, we're asking you to rank them according to sports. So I've actually had to recalibrate because the third month on my list, we're asking you to rank 1, 2, 3. The third month on my list, I kind of feel like I picked it because it's got my favorite holiday. And that's not how this is supposed to go. So we're asking you to rank your months based on your sports proclivities. Your favorite sports months of the calendar year. Rack 'em. Re-rack 'em. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. I am very pleased with the extended traffic on the whale video. I love that you all are far more interested in the whale video than you are anything I have to say. I can tell that because of the number of responses and views that are still taking place. And you know what? That's fine with me because I'm far more interested in the whale video than anything I have to say, too. So we're asking you for your whale video reaction, rank your sports months, and then coming up at just over 30 minutes from now, we've got your chance to ask Amy anything. So your questions are also welcome, again, on Twitter and Facebook. If you haven't seen the latest Chubby Bunny World Championship, the video is now posted to our YouTube channel. See, we are a full service operation around here. We keep you all busy. So let's get busy. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number 855-212-4227. Still to come, I do want you to hear what Sloane Stephens had to say from the French Open. I wish I could give Sloane some advice. I mentor a lot of young women about her age, regardless of what career, regardless of what ethnicity, culture, background. I mentor a lot of young women, and there are a couple of rules that I try to, well, rules, guidelines that I try to share with them that have really helped me, or guidelines that I wish someone had shared with me when I was her age. So we'll get to Sloane Stephens coming up. And also still to come, the Oakland A's may be one of the worst teams in baseball history, but they've taken 2 in a row off the Atlanta Braves. And also NASCAR taking a drastic step to suspend one of its own drivers. We're going to cram all that in with Ask Amy Anything. It is the Hump Show. We're glad to have you with us. Welcome back. Where have you been?
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness. It's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep got for it. Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We make it a thing around here. You got to keep up with the quarterbacks. We're obsessed with our quarterbacks. So here we go. It might be the last day of May, but we still know that you have to keep up with the world's most famous athletes. They like to think they're the world's most famous athletes. Well, Aaron Rodgers does anyway. All right, we're going to start with a quarterback competition in the NFC South. They haven't had one there in quite a while, but now that Tom Brady has left the building, this comes down to a battle between Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. So, Kyle, first time through this type of thing, how are you approaching this competition?
Trust yourself, and if you're doing the right thing, then you shouldn't have anything to worry about. If you know you're coming on time and, you know, being the best leader you can, the best teammate, you know, you don't have to sit there and overanalyze yourself. Just, you know, be who you are. And, you know, I think the guys will really respect that.
In case you're wondering right now, as many practices as they've had, the Bucs are splitting first team reps with Kyle Trask and then Baker Mayfield. So what is it like to compete with Baker, who's had quite the journey in the NFL in the last year?
The point of sports is, you know, we love competition. We've been competing our whole lives in this sport. So, you know, obviously there's no bad blood or anything like that. Just pushing each other and making sure we're always getting better every day.
Kyle Trask is a former Florida Gator. And you may remember in 2020, he had 43 touchdowns. So this is a guy who can chuck and duck. But he doesn't have the reps in the NFL. So the idea then as he moves from year one to year two is to try to get some of that experience and that wisdom under his belt, even though he's competing with a guy who has a lot more time on the field. But safety Antoine Winfield can see a difference between Trask from last season to now practicing for year two.
I would say he's smarter. I remember facing him early on. You know, there's still some things he needs to work on, but like I feel like he's getting the game more mental-wise.
Todd was saying that he's a little deceiving and he can run.
Yeah. He's a dual threat quarterback. Yeah. Don't get mistaken now. He can run a little bit.
Actually, I've seen some of the comments from Kyle in which he talks about how this new scheme, the new wrinkles to the scheme with the Buccaneers allows him to use his mobility a little bit more, which is great. So Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield. Well, Antoine Winfield, what's it like to have Baker around?
It's been fun. You know, it's different, but it's been fun. You know, we talk trash in between periods every now and then. He's also a great quarterback. I love his mentality towards the game, and he's fun to practice against.
When you say it's been different, like in what ways?
I would just say having a different player here. Because, you know, we always had Tom here. So just having a different quarterback outside of him and Trask, it has been fun.
Todd Bowles, he's not going to give us a whole lot of information, but how will he decide? How will he judge Baker versus Kyle?
Everything, obviously, from meetings to field to obviously the competition from a throwing standpoint to grasping the offense, making the right throws, just understanding it overall. And, you know, it comes down to making plays at the end and who has a better command of the offense.
Wide freaking open in Tampa Bay, as is the division, right? The NFC South is also wide open. Well, there is a new sheriff in the Crescent City. That's Derek Carr. We'll get to him coming up. But Jameis Winston still believes that he can be a starting quarterback. He said that recently. New head coach Dennis Allen believes that the partnership between Jameis and Derek Carr is actually going to benefit both of them, but will help Derek learn the offense.
I sit in there with the meetings with the quarterbacks at times, and you know, just his experience in the offense and being able to see it. There's some nuggets that he can provide. It's one of the reasons why we felt like it was important to have Jameis back here is that, number one, we feel like he's a guy that can go in and play when called upon, but yet he's extremely smart.
Man, it feels like forever ago that Jameis Winston was selected number one overall in the 2015 draft. But you remember, he was with the Buccaneers in 19. Shoot, didn't he have 40 touchdowns and 40 interceptions? Something along those lines. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, something like that. He's always had an interception problem. Hasn't been a full-time starter since then. Though he has had a couple of games under his belt, like him facing the Buccaneers in his first year with the Saints, right? And they've been kind of a revolving door there at QB with the departure of Drew Brees. So with Jameis Winston, he's not giving up on the idea. And honestly, the majority of teams, generally half or maybe even up to two-thirds of NFL teams will need to use two quarterbacks because of injuries or ineptitude. And so Jameis does need to stay ready. Maybe
I look good, and I know it.
Maybe you saw this headline that Dennis Allen brought John Gruden back to help Derek Carr learn the offense. Now, John Gruden resigned from the Raiders a few years ago, right? All the controversy over the emails that were leaked by the NFL that exposed him for some inappropriate words and language. So he steps down from the Raiders and since then has had a relatively low profile. But he was brought in to work with Derek Carr, a guy that he has a great relationship with going back to their days in Oakland and then Las Vegas. And Dennis Allen explains why he felt like this was a good idea.
John's a guy that has a lot of experience with Derek. And Derek's had his most success under John Gruden. And so we felt like bringing him in, having a chance to sit down and visit with him as an offensive staff, with the quarterbacks, some new thoughts and ideas, things that we might be able to implement. I would say offensively for a long time that I've been here, we've been pretty effective offensively. And so I don't see us putting in a whole new offense or doing something dramatic, but you know, if there's a few ideas that we could take from that, we felt like that would be beneficial.
Yeah, John's not joining the Saints staff, at least not at this point, but he did go to practice last week and then visited with the coaches and quarterbacks. And there's a rookie quarterback with the Saints who actually said the number one thing that he took away from Gruden's presence is how Derek Carr approaches the quarterback position and how Derek Carr navigates the offense, right? So Dennis Allen is doing everything he can to make sure that Carr can hit the ground running. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's all NFC South because that division is wide open. Depending upon how these quarterbacks settle in, you've got new coaches and new quarterbacks at every single one of these teams. But we're not going to spend our entire QB news there. How about in the AFC South where Calvin Ridley is blown away by the skills of his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence?
Last Thursday out here, it was a pretty impressive day for Trevor. I mean, I seen a lot of great throws, and I was like, wow, really wow.
Really wow. Hey, that's the same thing the woman on the surfboard said when the whale was going underneath their surfboard and coming out the other side. If you haven't seen the whale video, she says, wow. But she's also speaking Espanol. But wow is the word that came out of her mouth. Wow is universal. Wow and chow. Okay.
It's good.
Yeah, the whale video, it keeps bringing me back. Staying there with Calvin Ridley, because even though it's QB news and he's a receiver, he will be a major weapon for Trevor Lawrence if he can get back up to speed, right? Ridley's been out of the game now for over a year because he was already out of football when he got caught gambling and then got suspended for another season. So he's been off a football field for almost 2 years. That's a long time. And he admits he's a little bit rusty.
A little rusty, yeah. Of course I expect that I would be a little rusty because you can't really get ready for this. I mean, the heat, the helmet. I didn't have a helmet. But, just running every day is what it really is. If you get sore, you know, I got to make sure I build and not be sore, in the season.
Just want to be careful with him. You know, he is coming off, he hasn't played, in a while, plus the injury and, so we're just trying to be careful with him. He's done an outstanding job for us. You know, we just want to make sure that he's the type of guy that you have to kind of pump the brakes with. He wants to go so much and so fast and so hard out there at practice that we just kind of have to pump the brakes and just tell him, hey, now's not the time. But he's doing a great job. He's picking up the offense well. The times that he's working with Trevor, they're on the same page. They're connecting. And those are good things to see right now, in the offseason.
It's quite an addition for Doug Peterson in year two as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember, they won the division last year, the AFC South, with their late surge and then the wins over Tennessee. Calvin Ridley, they were happy to take him off Atlanta's hands. Another wide receiver that could be a game changer who's available right now is one DeAndre Hopkins. And there have been rumors that the Bills would like to have him, but also that the Browns were interested and Deshaun Watson would like nothing better.
Me and D-Hop, we just naturally talk. We've been talking since
you know, the Houston days, and then also whenever he left for Arizona, we were always talking. So, you know, he's always been a brother of mine since I was coming out of high school. Our connection, our relationship has always been great. And I know it's a lot of things swirling around in the media of, you know, him possibly coming to Cleveland. And, you know, for me, my answer to that is, of course, we would love to have him. Out of my range of things of kind of coordinating things. So all I can do is, you know, make a call and see what happens, let AB do the rest.
I actually, when I was in Atlanta to cover Super Bowl week, was waiting for a cab, or I think it was a cab, to go to the show one night. And I was picking it up from a hotel that was across the street from my Airbnb. And what do you know, a car pulls up with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Pop out of the car. They're talking about how they're going out. They're going to meet later, because Thursday night was the night where there are a lot of parties, Super Bowl week, the side of the Super Bowl. And so a lot of the players come into town on Thursday. So the two of them are talking about how they're going to meet up later for a party. And Hopkins says something along the lines of, oh, yeah, I'll meet you at such and such a time. And Watson's like, no, you won't, you liar, something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so Deshaun Watson would love to reconnect with DeAndre Hopkins. But is that where Hopkins wants to go? And will he have multiple opportunities? Deshaun on the Cleveland.com YouTube channel. All right, really quickly, let's hit the AFC East. Offensive coordinator for Buffalo, Ken Dorsey, decided to stay with the Bills instead of take a head coaching job somewhere else. And he's excited to work with Josh Allen and to help Josh stay safe and to be smart. They don't want Josh to run nearly as much. Josh says he knows it's not smart for him to run nearly as much for his longevity and for his health. So how do you split those running and throwing plays, Ken?
What we're going to look to do is try to win games however we see fit, however that comes up, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball. That's never going to change in philosophically for us and what we're going to do. You want to attack defenses in as many different ways as possible. And, you know, I think that something we pride ourselves on is, yes, being able to run the ball, being able to throw the ball, and do those different things. I don't think you really saw, you know, stretches, throughout the year last year where we weren't a multifaceted offense that's able to attack in different ways.
They're going to do whatever it takes to win. And they certainly can attack, and so can Josh. But if you want him to remain viable and be, say, a 15-year starter, something along those lines, you cannot have him constantly taking the hits that he does. Number one. Number two, how many times have I said it on this show? When Josh Allen is the leading running back for the Bills, there's a problem with the offense. The offense is lacking. That's not a formula for success. Why do you think Lamar Jackson wants to throw more now as opposed to being the lead running back for the Baltimore Ravens? What do you think?
I want to throw for like 6,000 yards with it.
Yeah, he wants to throw over 6,000 yards. He doesn't want to get hit anymore when he's working as a running back. What do you think? Time for the last two or just one? All right, let's see if we can shoehorn in Dawson Knox, who loves what he sees from Josh, even through these initial practices, not because of his skills on the field, but because of how he leads.
I think anytime you're in the same system for multiple years, you're going to get more comfortable, and then you can kind of graduate to an upper level of understanding. So, I mean, it's basically been the same system for him for, what, 5 or 6 years now. It's like a college course. You know, you start at 101 and you just keep going, and now he's at a graduate level and he's playing incredible football. So he can kind of hone in on some of those more advanced things and some of those more intricacies that he's going to communicate well with us too.
Dawson Knox, a Pro Bowl tight end in 2022. And yeah, the hope has been there for the Buffalo Bills. The AFC East championships have been there for the Buffalo Bills, but they haven't been able to break through and get back to the Super Bowl. All right, one more. I kind of feel like the Lions should have division title aspirations, if not playoff and Super Bowl aspirations. I know we're all in.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
I'm not either. Hendon Hooker, their rookie quarterback, he admires Jared Goff. I mean, don't we all?
Our lockers are right beside each other, so a lot of small talk and really getting to know each other. Some jokes and here and there, but, you know, essentially, you know, he's an amazing quarterback. Just continuing to learn from him and watch him, watching his footwork, watching how, you know, he directs traffic when he's in the huddle and just taking command of a total offense. It's amazing to see him operate. And one day I hope to, you know, be on that level and operate as efficient as he does.
Wow. This is what it's come to. Hendon Hooker wants to be like Jared Goff. And why not? Did you see what he did in 2022? I mean, the Lions finished above 500. That's something. Goff had a great season, and I'm being serious. He really did have a good season. If you're a fantasy football guy and you had Jared Goff, you made out pretty well. 4,400 yards passing, 29 touchdowns, only 7 picks. I won my fantasy football championship in spite of having Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. Trust me when I tell you, he was a detriment, not
a
help.
I'm offended.
Whatever. It's the truth hurts. Jared Goff would be a better pick than Aaron Rodgers. What do you think? Should I go for Jared Goff this year in fantasy? I have to defend my championship.
If he falls to you, it's not the worst move. I wouldn't base your draft around him, though.
All right, we'll see. QB news on the last morning of May, because that's how the NFL rolls. All right, make sure you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to either Twitter, After Hours CBS, or Facebook. You're all weighing in on the whale video. We absolutely love it. And then I'm pretty impressed by the variety of answers we're getting. Rank the top sports months on your annual calendar. What are your faves? 1, 2, 3. Ba-ba-ba-boom. I don't know where that came from. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoy listening to your show. I actually get up and go to work earlier.
Aww.
Just so I can hear your takes.
Amy, I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I'm a first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you for about a year now. You keep up the good show, and I'll keep listening.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You do a great job. Love listening in. Just get me home every night. I don't know how you do it by yourself.
Love you, Amy. I drive home from work every night. I'm a bartender, and I listen to you every night. Love. You're a lady on sports radio.
That's right. We rock. Thanks so much. I appreciate your phone call. Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
For hanging out with us. About 10 minutes until we get to Ask Amy Anything. So you'll need to send your last minute questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. Real quickly, before we take our break for the update, I want to let you hear from Sloane Stephens. Maybe by now you have read about or even heard her comments following her opening round match at the French Open. So she's in Paris and she's competing, and she is one of the top American female tennis players. She had been ranked as high as number 3 in the world after Wimbledon in 2018. You may remember she won the U.S. Open in 17, and she's always a factor. But she's making headlines in the last couple days, not because of what she did on the court, but because of her comments about racism against athletes. In the last few days, she's made the comments and made the headlines. In the last few years, she believes that the racism has only gotten worse. And she actually, she's using social media as the kind of the platform for this. And she's hoping, and there are right now these, well, there's various bills in Congress, there's various laws that are under development that would force social media sites and organizers to crack down on hate speech and speech that is inappropriate and is offensive and is meant to attack people. Now, I'm not sure how you do that. It is certainly, these are private sites, so freedom of speech doesn't necessarily apply. We're not talking about a, you know, government-run thing where you can speak freely. No, these are private websites. And if Twitter or Facebook or Insta or TikTok choose to kick you off, then there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have the right to do whatever you want on social media. And so some of these various bills and laws that are being broached are ones that would use artificial intelligence and new software to kind of filter out some of the hate speech and some of the messages that are inappropriate and hurtful and offensive. Now, there are already mechanisms on both Twitter and Facebook where you can flag words, but I'll just be honest, it doesn't always work. I've got the filter set up on Facebook because our page can, there are people who will take liberties on our page and it bothers me. So I'm constantly filtering through Facebook because I want to be careful of what's on my page. With Twitter, I have to mute and block people all the time because words get through that are offensive to me or people say things that are really rude and inappropriate. So I do my own filtering. But Sloan was talking about how she's hoping that this artificial intelligence or hoping that the changes for social media will curb some of the abuse that she's seeing on social.
It's obviously been a problem my entire career. It has never stopped. If anything, it's only gotten worse. I did hear about the software. I have not used it. I have a lot of obviously keywords banned on Instagram and all of these things, but that doesn't stop someone from just typing in an asterisk or a different type of typing it in a different way, which obviously software most of the time doesn't catch. It hasn't stopped and I haven't used the software yet. When there's FBI investigations going on with people are saying to you online, it's very serious. And obviously it's been something that I've dealt with my whole career. And I think that, like I said, it's only continued to get worse and people online have the free reign to say and do whatever they want behind fake pages, which is obviously very troublesome. It's something that I've had to deal with my whole career and something I will continue to deal with, I'm sure. And that's that.
So this is one of the things that Sloan is talking about. Now, she's 30 years old. My nieces are 26 and 22, and I do talk to them about social media. My younger niece in particular is susceptible and I think takes words to heart more than my older niece, who's kind of classic millennial and doesn't care what anyone thinks. In the case of Sloane Stephens, she's a public figure. And this is something that I wish I could tell her. It's something that I tell young women that I mentor, both some in this business, but just others in general that I cross paths with at my church or in other walks of life. Especially as a public figure, though, it's not a fair fight. It's never going to be a fair fight. Social media is stacked against public figures. Because, yes, you have a platform where you have more followers and you have more reach, but you cannot fight back on social media. You cannot. It's impossible. Because the number of people that will come at you versus the amount of time you have to be able to respond, it's also a goal of a lot of people on social to either get a rise out of someone who's famous or a celebrity or to get a response, right? So a lot of people come at me and in the past I would respond more. I generally do not respond now. I mute or I block, but even I don't block on Twitter because people then know you've seen it and that you're blocking them. You mute them, they have no idea that you've actually muted them or that you're not seeing their posts. But it's not a fair fight because the deck is stacked against you, right? I mean, anything you say can and will be dissected, will instantly be shared and screenshotted and taken out of context. So I tell people that I mentor, my students, recognize that there's a double standard for you. People who have 8 followers on social, well, they can say and do anything. And Sloan is right. There's really not a filter that's effective. And there are no repercussions for people who use inappropriate language or who are discriminatory or some of the words that, and I'm obviously not black like she is, but some of the comments that I get from people, I mean, it's garbage. It's trash. And if I allowed it to, it would be a distraction and it would affect my mental health. The difference between someone of my generation who didn't grow up with social media and someone of Sloan's is that it's been an ever-present force in her life. Very often, this is how she communicates with fans, with other people. This is how she makes connections. But here's the thing. Sloan, social media is not social and it's not media. It's the opposite of both. It's not social. It's designed to be a weapon for many people. People who are anonymous and have no accountability, they'll say and do pretty much anything, and truth doesn't matter. Truth is optional on social media, which is why these people coming at you, what they have to say is not important because it's not true. And I know it can be hurtful, but there's the other piece of it. You don't have to read it. If they feel it's their God-given right to say whatever they want to you, it is your God-given right to block it and to filter it out. And so use the block and mute buttons liberally if you want to be on social. You don't have to see it. And you know what? There are a lot of people I know in this business who don't read their mentions ever. Don't do it. Use it to communicate the way that you want to, but you don't have to read the replies that people send to you. If AI isn't going to work to filter it out, then you filter it out or have someone else read it for you. That's another option. Hire a PR person who will read it for you and maybe print out the messages that you need to see, the ones that aren't offensive. There is a way to put a buffer up between you and social. Again, you're a public figure. Choose your battles. Not every battle is worth fighting, and social media is very often not a battle that's worth fighting if you're a public figure, especially as a female, especially as an African American, or really any culture that would be considered minority. She doesn't need this. And I really sincerely hope that she can find a way to put a buffer up, put a barrier up, because it could affect her mental health. As young people, there's so many out there who take to heart what they read on social, what comes at them on social, and it affects their mental health and sometimes their physical health. It's not worth it. All right, coming up, your chance to ask Amy anything. So send your last-minute questions to Twitter, to Facebook. I mean, you could ask us if we think the whale video is real. And also your top sports months on the calendar. Glad to have you with us on this hump show.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Into it because, as usual, I talk too much and left producer Jay with limited amounts of time here. So he's armed and dangerous. We won't have the problem last week where we ran out of questions, right, Jay?
We will not.
All right. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, The Hump Show, ask Amy anything.
All right, we got to start here since we were talking about earlier how yesterday or last night just happened to be a random weekday Star Wars marathon. So Gutboy asks, if you had a chance to fly any ship from Star Wars, which one would it be?
Oh, it would absolutely be the Millennium Falcon, of course. Although I wouldn't mind piloting a Star Destroyer just for fun. Those puppies are huge. But Millennium Falcon, just because of how, well, one of my favorite lines from the new trilogy, this is in The Last Jedi, where Rey and Chewbacca show up on the scene. It's a battle toward the end of The Last Jedi. And Kylo Ren freaks out and wants them to send every last TIE fighter follow after. And she's probably trying to be a decoy, right? And Finn yells, "They hate that ship!" It's one of my favorite lines. Anyway, so true. The Millennium Falcon has been the bane of the Empire's existence since day one. So yes, it would be that ship if I could. Even though it's barely held together with like duct tape and string.
They fix it like every other scene.
They do. It's so great. And hyperdrive never works.
All right, sticking with Star Wars here for a sec. C. Walters wants to know, have you ever met any of the leading or main characters of any of the Star Wars?
I have not. I wish I had. I heard that when the new Millennium Falcon exhibit opened up at Disney World, that Mark Hamill surprised a group of fans who were there on day one. Could you imagine? No, I do have a poster signed by Carrie Fisher, an original Star Wars trilogy poster, which is pretty incredible. It was a limited edition. It was a gift, actually, from a listener. And it is framed and hanging on the wall next to my piano. That's how much it matters to me. I have not, but I would love to I would love to meet, of course, Harrison Ford or James Earl Jones. Could you imagine? Just amazing.
I like this one from Mike. He wants to know, what are some of your favorite cities or towns to drive through on long road trips?
Oh, that's a really good question. Oh, my goodness. I really like Dallas. I like the fact that you've got Dallas and Fort Worth 30 miles apart with Arlington in the middle. So that's one that I enjoy driving through. Also like Charlotte. I like driving through Charlotte. I've had some pretty bad traffic in Charlotte, but I do enjoy driving through there as well. Anything to do with New England. I don't love driving through Boston, but Boston's one of my favorite cities in the entire country. Where else have I driven that I really enjoy? What a good question. Albuquerque. I enjoy driving through Albuquerque. Denver's gorgeous, obviously, because of the Rocky Mountains all around. So those are a couple. Oh, and then Salt Lake City. I really also mountains. I enjoyed driving from Salt Lake City to Provo when I was working there a few years back.
This one comes in from our friend Amy Tresk.
Hi, Amy.
She asked, what's the best nickname or abbreviation for Amy that you've ever heard or been giving? Asking for a friend.
Really? I'm going to have to respond to her on social. Well, you know what? My sister-in-law calls me Amester, which is really funny. My sister-in-law and then the rest of the family picks it up, too. Do not tell Bob this. Yeah, so I would go with Amester. It's probably the most unique one that I've not heard anywhere else. But my brother, my older brother, and some select favorite guy friends of mine call me Aim. Marco calls me Aim, so that's probably my favorite nickname. But Aimster or Aim are the two that I love.
I like
Aimster.
Oh, my
gosh. Hi, Amy.
All right. This one comes in from Eric, who wants to know, would you ever consider coaching high school or college basketball or softball?
I have actually coached high school basketball, both at the camp level as well as partnering with a friend of mine who was coaching a high school team. So I've done that. I've also given private basketball lessons to younger kids, so elementary, junior high kids. Yes, believe it or not, going back, say, 5 years, I had an offer to coach a JV basketball team at the high school level. But because I'm working overnights, there was just no way to make it work. It was with my apologies. I would have loved to coach. I would love to do it at some point down the road when my schedule changes. Absolutely would love to coach basketball. Softball, I wouldn't be a head coach, but I could be certainly be an assistant coach.
You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
This comes in from Mike, who asks, what was the most embarrassing moment you've ever had while on the air during your radio career that you're comfortable sharing?
Oh, well, there have been a few. My very first update that I ever did for a commercial radio station in Syracuse, I had practiced and practiced and practiced. I thought I was ready. The host for the show tossed to the update. I was in the update booth. My mic went on. I did not control it. They did. My mic went on. And I froze. I did not remember my name. I forgot my own name.
No name.
I was supposed to start with my name. I couldn't remember my name. I drew a blank. I looked up and the hosts are staring at me. And one of them's like, go, go, go. He's like doing the wheel, you know, like the, come on, come on, come on,
no,
talk.
Not helping.
So I skipped my name and went right into the update. Most embarrassing moment of all time. It was embarrassing.
Could have been the greatest update ever given, but no one knew who did it.
Oh, another embarrassing moment. And this actually, like all of us just fell out. I was doing a story, and part of the story included Mike Schmidt, only I did not use the M on accident.
Did it get dumped?
Nope. It went right. This is before dump buttons. Oh. It went right over the air. And actually, it was in Oklahoma, so I don't even know that they would have used the dump button. We all died. Like, we died laughing. That was the end of the show.
That's funny.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. This one's from James, who asks, who has had the biggest impact on your career? You can name a couple.
I had a mentor and advisor at Syracuse named Don Edwards. He has since passed away, but he was someone that believed in me long before I believed in myself. We talk about the unwavering confidence of Jimmy Butler. Professor Edwards told me over and over again, you're going to get where you want to go, and I believe in you. I'm going to help you get there. And he did. Man, do I miss him a ton. Another friend of mine who's also passed away, worked in TV in Oklahoma City. He died in a car accident a few years ago. But he gave me the best piece of advice that I ever had. It was right after I'd been fired for the first time. He said to me, Amy, you haven't made it in this business until you've been fired at least twice. Meaning, it's going to happen. You're going to roll with the punches. You're not done. Your career's not over until you choose to walk away. Firing ain't no big thing. So those are two. Bob Berry Jr. was his name in Oklahoma City.
Good advice.
Muffin Man wants to know, when you go to a baseball game, do you keep a scorecard?
I don't anymore. I have. When I was younger, when I was working, doing play-by-play, but I don't do it anymore. Now I just go and I hang out with, try to get ice cream and a helmet. That's my favorite thing.
Well, speaking of food, last one here before rapid fire. Lori asks, what is your favorite food from your childhood?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my mom made an incredible beef stroganoff. We love stroganoff, but also love to eat pierogies and sauerkraut and kielbasa. That's the Polish side of my family. So those are a few.
You know, I've only had kielbasa once. Loved it. Haven't had it yet since.
You're missing out.
I know. Rapid fire here. Stuffed crust or normal cheese pizza?
Wait, there's a lot of other options. I have to have one of those?
Stuffed crust or normal crust?
Oh, thin crust for sure. Yeah. It's called thin crust, you goofball, not normal. My gosh.
M&M's, peanut or plain?
Plain.
Cabana or cabin?
Cabin.
80s or 90s?
90s. Music? Ooh. We talking about music?
Just decade.
Oh, 90s. The 90s are back, my niece is saying.
Taj Mahal or the Coliseum?
The Coliseum.
Snowball fight or water balloon fight?
Oh, you know I'm all about the snow.
Jenga or Connect Four?
Connect Four. Love that game.
Read a book or watch a movie?
Oh, no. I'll go read a book.
Last one here. Ariana Grande or Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
The finals are here, and the biggest assist is happening off the court. BetQL has the best sportsbook deals, bonus offers, and exclusive access to risk-free bets, giving you more bang for your basketball buck. Visit BetQL to unlock special offers and finish the season on a winning note. Whether you're riding with the Joker in Denver or playoff Jimmy in Miami, BetQL's bonus offers can be the alley to your sports betting oop. Go to BetQL.com/hoops to take advantage of these exclusive offers. That's BetQL.com/hoops.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.